It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see all of your smiling faces today. As I was preparing for the message today, I have a little devotional that I use every day. It's something for each day for the whole year. And there's a thing in there that's talking about a friend of God, us being God's friend. And so I was thinking about that, and the Lord asked me just to share with you this morning, that He wants to be our friend. He wants to be our best friend. But before I get into that, I'd just like to just go to the Lord in prayer. So go with me, please. Father, I thank You this morning that You have called us friends. Lord, that you want a friendship with us. You want what's best for us, that You love us beyond anything we can even imagine. And it's just a little hard, I think, sometimes for us to understand that You want to be our best friend. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Lord, as You give me the words to say today, I ask that I'll not get in Your way, but that You'll speak through me. Use me, Father. Speak to Your people. Father, just convey to them this morning Your friendship and Your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I was looking through Scripture, trying to come up with some Scriptures to use for today, there's not very many men and women in the Bible that God called friends. I think Abraham, he called a friend, and Abraham was a friend of God, and I think Job. Those are the only two, I think, that I could find. Matt, you may know of others, but those are the only two that I could find that God actually called them his friends. And I don't know, those of you who went through the Purpose-Driven Life in Sunday School with us, there is a couple chapters in there on friendship with God. I didn't really go into that and use that in my lesson today, but there's some good stuff in there. I just saw it this morning as I was looking through the Purpose-Driven Life again. But I already had everything prepared, so I didn't add anything else to it. We're going to start in John 15 today. As I was thinking about friendship with God and best friends, I thought, well, a best friend is someone that you want to spend time with, that you enjoy associating with. You just enjoy being with your best friend. The guy best friend that I had from high school, we ran around together. We'd get in the car and go places. We worked together. He's the one that got me my first job. And we spent a lot of time together because we enjoyed being together. We enjoyed doing the same things. And it was something that we liked. Friendship, as you all know, is something that's really important. I talked to you several weeks ago about choosing your friends, about making sure that you, especially youth, youngsters, make sure you pick good friends, because the friends are who influences your life. So who better to influence our life than God, Jesus Christ? And I found another place here in John 15 where he calls us friends. We're going to begin with verse 1. And this is the vine and the branches. You all know the story of the vine and the branches, how we have to abide in the vine. We have to stay hooked to the vine in order to get nourishment, in order to get what we need for our daily lives. And this is Jesus actually talking to his disciples here. These several chapters right here in the middle of John are Jesus. Chapter 14 says Jesus comforts his disciples and so on. And then in 15, he's telling him, I am the true vine. I'm beginning of verse 1 here. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in the vine. We've been watching a couple branches over at Jamie's. She has, when the big truck backed in to drill the well, he knocked a couple branches loose on her tree, and one of them just, the leaves died and withered. I mean, they completely died. The branch is still hanging on the tree, but apparently it's not getting any life because it's dead now. There's another one that's hanging clear to the ground, but it's still green as the rest of the branches. Because it's still hanging on by something up there that's giving it nourishment. So it's still hooked into the tree. Sometimes we get broken like that, don't we? We get kind of broken and hacked off, but we still remain hooked up to the Father. Still remain in Him, hooked up to the vine, so we still get our nourishment. It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. He wants us to be happy. He wants to see the joy in our lives. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And then in verse 14 he says, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. One of the few places that I can find in Scripture that talks about Jesus calling us friends. But he does here, and it's pretty important that we remain in the vine so that we can nourish and cultivate that friendship with him. As I thought about friendships and how you want to spend time with friends, how important it is that we spend time with the Father. I do remember, and I didn't write it down, but I remember in the purpose-driven life, it talks about to have a friendship with God, we have to have constant communication with Him. Something that we have to have friendship with God is constant communication. Just time, spending time with Him, allowing your day, allowing Him to be part of your day, and just asking Him what do you want me to get involved in your day today? How can I please you today? Part of having a friendship with your wife or your husband is you want to spend time with them. You want to please them. You want to do what's best for them. In 2 Chronicles 20, I'm going to go there, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7. This was one of the few places that I found that talk about friendship with Abraham being God's friend. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 7. Let me begin here in verse 5. And Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand. No one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? Wouldn't it be great to be called God's friend? Matt, God's friend. Stan, God's friend. When you look at all of the different people that it talks about in the Word of God, and from Genesis to Revelation, only a few that he called friend. And I want to be in that circle. I want to be a friend of God. Let's go over to Romans now. I found that's where I've been doing my daily Bible reading, is in Romans, and there's just a lot of good stuff in Romans that show us the way to stay connected to God, to stay hooked up with Him. And we're going to begin in Romans chapter 4 today, verses 13 through 17 of chapter 4. This is talking about Abraham again and how he was justified by faith, and beginning with verse 13, it says, it was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. You all remember Abraham's faith. It talks about it all the time, about Abraham's faith, how he walked with God in faith. But if you think about when God promised his heirs, God promised Abraham that he would have heirs as many as the sea, sand in the sea, and he didn't have a child to do that with, and he came to him when he was 100 years old. Imagine the faith that Abraham had to have. He had to know God. He had to be a friend of God to know that God could make an heir out of him and his wife as old as they were. She was past childbearing and he was 100, and I'm sure he had to believe God. There had to be some faith there, and it talks about God's faith here in Romans, about Abraham's faith here in Romans. It says, for if those who live by the law are heirs, faith has no value and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. So God calls things into being by his very breath. things that are not as though they were. Then on over in chapter 5, in the first part of chapter 5, it's talking about different things here that we need, characteristics that we need to walk with God. It begins out with, therefore, in verse 1 of chapter 5, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. He did not clean us before He caught us, as Matt told us earlier. But He died for us while we were sinners. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Hallelujah. Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So when we accept Jesus Christ, all of our sins are washed away. They're gone as far as the east is from the west, it says. And we don't have to wonder about our past. We don't have to feel guilty about our past, because God has taken care of that. He loves us that much. And I want to look at on over in verses 19 through 21. It's talking about baptism here, about being buried into His death, and alive in His resurrection. And I want to look at verses 19 through 21. For just as through disobedience of the one man, talking about Adam here, his disobedience, through that disobedience of one man many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. The law was added so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then on over in chapter 6, then what shall we say? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. I added this part in today because we're going to baptize Megan this afternoon. She's accepted the Lord recently and asked us to baptize her, and so we're going to do that. We didn't invite everybody because she's asked for a private time of it, so we've granted her that wish. But we're going to do that, it's just so important that we understand that in baptism we are buried with Christ. Our sins are buried with him, and they're dead. They've died. And then as you come up out of the water, it's like his resurrection. We're brought into life, resurrected into newness of life to live with him forever. And that's the awesome thing of baptism. If we have been united with him, I'm in verse 5 now, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Hallelujah. God is so good, and he loves us so much. He wants to be our friend. Galatians 3. I want to finish up in Galatians chapter 3 today. Beginning with verse 26. Says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. So we're all seeds of Abraham because of the promise that God made to him. He promised that Abraham's heirs and all of the Gentiles as well who accept the Lord as their Savior are heirs. We're his sons, we're his daughters, his children, his best friends. So as you seek the Lord this week, as you spend time with him, as you share your intimate time with the Father, just remember that he's your best friend, that he loves you that much, that he wants that intimate time every day with you. He wants to share time with you every day and for you to be involved in the things that he's doing. So think of yourself as God's friend. So if any of you would like to have prayer this morning, I'm going to ask the praise team to come up, share another song with us. If any of you have never accepted the Lord and you'd like to do that this morning, we'd like to make time for that as well. We all want to be his children, part of his family. So the elders will be up here if you have a need.